Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, I'm just going to take some time a little bit tonight and talk to you about that freedom that belongs to us in Christ. But the nation that we live in, we want to take some time tonight and celebrate what God has done in the nation we live. How many of you, like Michelle and I, have lived outside of the United States for any time, extended period of time in your life? Well, if you have, you'll know that many nations of the world don't have the freedoms that we all enjoy. I remember when we lived in Africa and Zambia, which used to be Northern Rhodesia, had gained independence from the colonial rule and became Zambia, and then suffered many years under a communist type of rule, and it depleted the resources of the country. And when Zambia became more of a, became a democracy, and it's literally a 25-year-old democracy. In fact, Michelle and I were there on the one-year celebration of their president. The nation celebrating it, they used the crusade tent or apparatus that we worked with the ministry there at Elliott's ministry. The president came, and Michelle and I, along with the team, laid hands on the president of Zambia for their one-year celebration as they worshiped God for the freedom they enjoyed in that nation. But I can remember when we would drive from town to little hamlet to little town through Zambia to get from one place to another. And if you know anything about places where the infrastructure collapses, there literally becomes one road from one place to another, and those roads were depleted. But before you would get to each and every town, there would be three or four guys from the army, and they would have AK-47s. You're out in the middle of nowhere. They'd stop your vehicle. They'd yell or talk very sternly to you. Where are you going? What are you here for? What do you have? They'd make you unload your vehicle. Sometimes they'd want to steal some of it. Sometimes they'd want to turn you back. And then when you left the town, somebody on the other side would do it to you. And so, you know, you didn't have freedom of movement. There was always the chance that somebody there was going to try to steal from you or God forbid, do worse. And so when you live in a country like ours where you can travel state to state, go anywhere you want and never be impeded and never have that kind of oppression, you take it for granted. But I think we can also take for granted the freedom that we have in Christ. And we can take for granted that what Jesus did for us, it just becomes... In fact, we devalue it by not recognizing it. Tonight I just want to talk to you a little bit about the freedoms, though, that we enjoy as a country. And the responsibility we have as Christians to be able to extend that freedom to generations to come. The Scripture, you know, tells us that God desires to make people free. And yet, if you're not careful, and certainly educationally, if you listen the way children are taught in our schools today, that if you were to ask them, based on the education they typically receive, where have your freedoms come from, they basically would tell you one of two things. They came either through the media, which is a joke, or that they came through government. That our government gave us freedom. And in fact, most people, if you'll even ask them today, is the government that which provides you your freedom? And many Americans will tell you yes. But the founders believe just the opposite. They believe that our freedoms were inalienable rights that came from God. The government couldn't give them because they belong to you as a right of being a human being. And if the government couldn't give them, then the government had no right to take them. But the minute you educate a populace to believe that your government is the institution giving you your freedom, now you empower that same government to take them, which they have no right to do, at least not by our founding documents. But the question is this. The reason this nation is what it is, and it is the most amazing, it has a lot of sins and a lot of dark things in our history. And none of those things are to be celebrated. However, there is the reality that this is the greatest nation on the planet. People come from all over the world to want to come here. Anywhere we would go in Africa, people, they would long to about me. You're an American. Oh, I want to, will you take me? I want to go to America. We, many nations of the world in the communist days, they had to build fences to keep the people in. We have to build fences to keep them out. And where did these freedoms come from? Well, the founders of this nation will tell you where they came from. It doesn't have to be questioned. It isn't debatable. Because these people wrote prolifically about what they believed about the founding of our nation. And when our nation was formed and we gained independence from England, of course, through the Revolutionary War, the founders wrote some incredible things. Andrew Jackson, who was one of our first presidents, said this. Actually, he wasn't, but he was one of the early presidents. Jackson said this: "The Bible is the rock upon this which the Republic itself rests." Now, if a president said that today, he would be accused of separation of powers and church and state, and people would, you know, have a fit, and all the talking heads would go stupid on television. But the founders of our nation believed a certain thing. Now, what's interesting to know, the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedom to have a pluralistic society, a freedom to believe whatever you want or not believe whatever you want, came from the principles of Christianity. The very ability that you have in this nation to free speech, all of these things came out of the Scripture. Listen to what James Madison said as president. He said, "We have staked the whole future of our American civilization not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the commandments of God." Now listen to these prophetic words. "The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which the Constitution was founded." That's the foundation. It's not subjective. It's not subjective. It's not up for debate. The foundation, that which they formed, the documents that have lasted, that have endured, this amazing document, the Constitution, was taken out of Scripture. And the founders knew that the responsibility of the people would have to be Godward if we were to survive as a nation. Noah Webster said this: "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and His apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government." So how many of you are aware that the ACLU doesn't protect your liberties? The American Civil Liberties Union. Now, they have every right to do what they want to do through the courts. That's why we have the kind of nation that we do. But understand this: in anything, if you remove the foundation, the building collapses. The source of your freedom as an American, if you remove the source, then the building collapses. And if you really were to interview people today, they would tell you that groups like the ACLU are the people protecting your freedom. And the fact of it is they're actually eroding your freedom. Because what they're attacking is your individual right to be able to live for God, listen now, in a public way. And the more and more that the culture becomes darkened, and we're going to, they say, well, this is against this group or that group. It's not. It's actually going to turn back to us as the church. Is that until we understand that our founders had confidence in one thing, in God, and in the power of God into the lives of people who would serve Him, to make them a people of character so that they would govern themselves in such a way as to care for their posterity and not just for their immediate needs. Now you can see a turn in our nation where people are desperately crying out, "What can you give me? What can be taken? What can I have? What will the government give me?" And we're not talking about people in genuine need. I'm talking about basic day-to-day things that people, "Well, I need a cell phone." Well, you can live without one of those. It may not be the best thing in the world, but, you know, how many of you remember a day when you had to dial something on a wall? John Spencer's here. He remembers when you used to push the button and talk to, and do this and talk to Zelda. Because John was about 12, 15 years old when they got electricity in West Virginia. So what foundation was the nation built upon? Listen to what John Adams said. "The highest story of the American Revolution is this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." He said it's indissoluble. You can't separate the two. When you do, you begin to erode the fabric of the freedoms that we all enjoy. It's critical. Daniel Webster said this. If there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love for the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden the catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all of our glory in profound obscurity. The founders knew that no matter how great this nation could grow, that if you removed it off the foundation, it would collapse. Any student of history would know that there have been empires, if you will, that have lasted much longer than the American, quote, story of 200 plus years. The Roman government, the Ottoman Empire, goes on and on. The Greek, it goes throughout history. Every one of those empires collapsed internally. And so, again, we could become, this is where people, as Christians, we can become political and begin to fight politics. And I'm a Democrat, and I'm a Republican, and I'm a Libertarian, and I'm an Independent. Well, all of those things, I understand that there are different views, and all of us should have views that agree with the Scripture first. Our loyalty should be to the Scripture and to our God first. Jesus is my Lord, not the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or Grandma or Grandpa or Mama or Daddy. Amen? So we should be loyal to Jesus first. Now, but that all said, we're talking about the freedoms that we enjoy. Listen to what Patrick Henry said. How many of you remember Patrick Henry's "Give me liberty or give me death"? How many of you like to know what's before that? Listen to what he said in the same context. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shall not fight alone. God presides over the destinies of nations. The battle is not to the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. Give me liberty or give me death." I don't like to know the whole thing when I was taught, "Give me liberty or give me death." Now, is it just me, or is it excluded for a reason? It's fine to know the truth of our history, the ugly parts and the beautiful parts. But when you take God out of our foundation because people today don't like God, it doesn't change the history of the nation. Now, all that being said, let me quote a recent president, Ronald Reagan. He said this: "Without God, there is no virtue, because there is no prompting of the conscience without God. There's a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Now, that all said, let's talk about our responsibility as Christians. Is it really the responsibility of our senators and congressmen and president and Supreme Court to deal with these issues? The answer is no. The founders had faith in God. And if I were to really tell you my honest understanding according to Scripture, the failure of our nation has not been a governmental failure. It has been a church failure. It has been the failure of the people of God to take the gospel to our world, to bring the light of the gospel, to win people to Jesus Christ, to be aggressive in winning people to Christ. It astounds me when people will come to me as a pastor, and it doesn't bother me, because to be honest with you, I couldn't care less about what someone's opinion is about what I'm going to do and stand before God. How many of you know when you stand before God, ain't no one else around? And when I stand before Jesus and I account for my life, I couldn't care less what anyone else is going to say, because they won't be there. But time and time again, people will see something of this magnitude, and they'll say things like, "Well, is that really necessary?" And they're not people that don't know God, they're Christians. The body of Christ, our job, is to go after our world with the message of Jesus Christ, not to go point a finger at one group of people and say, "You're this, and you're wrong, and you're bad, and change this." Like the song we sang, "Can a leopard change his spots?" No. We can't go into a world without Christ and tell them to live like they are. We are to take them out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into light through the power of the gospel. I would suggest this to you. If every church in every town and every hamlet in America was aggressively doing the works of Jesus, And I'm not boasting in this church. It's not this church. It's the power of the gospel. And so this isn't any better than any other church. It's that people here have been unwilling to say, I'm going to come to church and build four walls to come in and hide out for an hour and a half on a weekend. We're going to go fill this place and go reach people and touch people no matter where they live in their life. This is a come as you are place. Can you imagine if every Christian in America did the works of Jesus and won someone to Christ? Just if every Christian won two people to Jesus this year, and I mean got them discipled and worked with them and helped them grow in God, do you realize that by itself would be a national revival? The problem is not our government. The government is simply a reflection of the impotence of the church. And so I would suggest to you that what God is endeavoring to do in this nation now is not to change our government and not to have Christians fight to change the government, but to have Christians awaken to the privilege of going to a lost and dying and broken world and telling them this simple story. God is not holding your sins against you any longer. Jesus died to reconcile you to God. And if you'll accept Him as the Savior of your life, He will save you. He will take you out of darkness into light. And how many of you, Jesus, when He came in your life, cleaned up some pretty nasty stuff? Would you raise your hand? How many of you realize that it wasn't for Jesus? That stuff doesn't change. How many of you remember when and this may not be everybody's testimony, but there were things in your life that just, when you gave your heart to Christ and Christ abode on the inside of you, some things just changed. You didn't work at it. You didn't fight for it. It just changed because something inside you that was dead was now alive. You didn't work for it. You didn't say, well, I'm going to be committed. The life of God burst and pushed that darkness out of your life. So our great privilege as Christians is to go win our world to Christ. Every person you lead to Jesus, you've taken out of darkness into light. If somebody walks with God, if somebody desires to lift people, if someone desires to help people, can I tell you this? That it won't be much more than a generation before your politicians will reflect those values. If a nation, it literally begins to turn to God. That's why the Bible said if people will humble themselves and call upon my name and repent of that iniquity, He said, I'll heal their land. If we as a people, and we're so privileged to have representative government, a representative republic, all our representatives are reflecting is the impotence of the church. And my job isn't to make you a Republican or a Democrat. It's my job to unleash the gospel the best we know how to our generation. It's my job to go into pastors' lives and to do my best to say, no, don't think so small. Stop living for the next weekend and what your sermon's going to be. You've got to think in terms of touching your world, touching your community, letting God move in your... how are we going to do it? It's going to cost money. I don't care what it costs. It costs blood from Jesus. And it's been the honor of our life, Michelle and I, to pastor a church of people who are unwilling to sit on their blessed assurance and pretend that we don't have this responsibility as Christians. It's not a responsibility. It really is a privilege. Because you get to see God do amazing things in other people's lives. And I want to commend you as a church for your willingness to go reach people for Jesus. And I know there's a lot of issues out there and a lot of things that politically are minefields, and I understand all that. But can I tell you that if the church will be the church, and we can't control everywhere in the world, we can only do the part we're called to do. Let's commit to what our God has called us to do. Let's honor the founders of this nation who birthed this nation on the principles of Christianity. And let's go win people to Jesus. And as people walk with Him and know Him, I'm telling you guys, our society will begin to reflect those values because Christ in you becomes your hope of glory. And so I'm so thankful to live in a nation where God Himself birthed it. That God Himself put these things in and wrote a document so profound as the Constitution. But it was all based on Scripture from Leviticus. There's so much in the Constitution that the footnotes bring you to the Bible. And all of it exists because of what Jesus did for us. And so let's do our part as believers. Let's tonight celebrate just not our freedom and thank God that we're Christians, but let's make a commitment to go into the highways and the byways, into the hedges. And let's be people that will witness Christ to people and help them to come to know the Savior that saved us so gloriously. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much. And I'm so grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy tonight in living in this nation. That we have such amazing opportunity. Such freedom to do whatever we desire to do. Lord, that we would use those freedoms to be able to proclaim Your message of goodness, the gospel to a lost and dying world. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those in authority. And simply not that they would make wise decisions, but I pray for their salvation. I pray that You would send laborers into their life, that they would not be religionists or politically religious, but they would have a relationship with You, an experience with a living God. That they would come from darkness into light because of the Savior. That they would bow their knee to the One who gave His life. I pray for every person in every place of government that You would, those that know You, that they would walk with You, and those that don't, that You would surround them with people that would bring the gospel to their heart. And Lord, I ask You for a revival in our nation of the church being the church. Going into the highways and the hedges and compelling people to come to a Savior that loves them with an everlasting love. So, Father, we celebrate that. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If tonight was your last night on the planet, where would you spend forever? Jesus died to make people free, but not just for this life, but more importantly, even the life to come. So if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you died right now, you don't know where you'd spend forever. And you'd like to pray with me tonight to invite Jesus in your heart. I will pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Pastor, would you please include me in a prayer? I want to invite Christ in my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all can put your hands back down. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Anyone else, you say, include me in that prayer. Listen, if you're raising your hand or should have, you're not just praying some kind of religious prayer. You're going to invite a living Savior into your life. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He will make you brand new. And you can walk with God in everyday life. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. We're all going to pray it out loud together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.